Okay, today's daf is Eirvin daf Chav Zayin. Eirvin Chav Zayin, as we start the third parak in Maseches Eirvin. We are on Chav Vav Amabes. Remember, the first parak we discussed was issues related to a mavui and how to be misakein on a drabbanon level the area called a mavui. The second parak was all about passing the area that is in the middle of a Rishos Harabim and Chazal told us, or based on the Torah, what to do, how to be misaki in that area. The second half of it was related to Karpef, how to be misaki. So far we spoke about three different types of areas, Mavui and the Pasin area and the Karpef. And now this parak is about issues of Tchumen, which is a new topic that we haven't had yet. We mentioned in the path, there is a Machlokas Tanoim relating to Tchumen, whether Tchumen is Da'araisa or Da'rabanan. Rabbi Kiva holds that Tchumen or Da'araisa, right? We had a reference to that at the end of the first parak. We paskin against Rabbi Akiva. We paskin that tchumen are dirabanan. What tchum does that mean? That means the 2,000 amos. We know that we all have 2,000 amos outside of our rishus on Shabbos. What does our rishus mean? If we're in the middle of nowhere, that means from where we are. If we are in a city, it's 2,000 amos from outside the city. That is a din dirabanan according to most poskim. There is another machlokes, and that is, what about Yud Beis Mil? Not 2,000 amos, but the farther tchum of 12 mil, is that a reiser or not? So that is a machlokes, we've shown him. The Rambam and the Rif and others hold that that is the reiser, right? The Rif discussed this at the end of the first parak, and the Rambam says this, and the Sefer HaChinuch counts this as one of the mitzvahs in Parshas Beshalach, based on the pasuk of, right, that we had referred to earlier. Mashenki and other Rishonim say, no, that all, the Ramban says, all tchumen et rabbanan, even the Yud Beis Mil, right, big important nafkaminas in terms of Safik Lachumra, Safik Lakula, but that is an important issue that is has to do with tchumen. Either way, the tchum that is most commonly discussed is the 2,000 amos tchum, and that's what's going to be discussed here, and the concept of somehow extending my tchum. One can never have a tchum of more than 2,000 amos, but one could change their, what's called, makom shvisa, their spot where they are going to be. Their center of existence on Shabbos can be changed. If I don't do anything, then it's my city. My city is my makom shvisa, and I can go 2,000 amos in all directions. But if I know that I want to be in the next city on Shabbos, which is 3,000 amos away, and I want to hear a shir there, I want some dvar mitzvah, so I could put my box of matzah, or whatever food I use outside the tchum, towards that direction. I could put it, let's say, 1,000 amos outside of my city. So that will be my makom shvisa. I have 2,000 amos from that spot, and I lose 1,000 amos in the other direction, because once I change my makom shvisa, so it's 2,000 amos in all directions from there. And before Shabbos, I have to do that before Shabbos. And the city that I'm in is considered Dalan Amos. So I get another 1,000 amos on the other side. But you can never have more than a 2,000 amos tchum. It's just a question of where the makom shvisa is, where the center of existence is. Okay, so the first mission discussed is what one is allowed to use for tchumen. Says the Mishnah, Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin. One can use anything for an Erev Tchum, and Umishtatvin, or a Sheet of Mavos, which related to what we spoke about before. Houses combine in Chatzers, and Chatzers combine in Mavuis. So that's the one is allowed to use any type of food. There is a Rashi that is much discussed here. Rashi in the first Rashi says, Eruve Chatzeros Vitchumen. The context of our Mishnah, even though the rest of the Perek is all about Erev Tchumen, but this Mishnah is referring to both. Erev Chatzeros and Tchumen, one can use any type of food. If you look in the Bach, the Bach takes out Tchumen. Maybe because of the partnership with Sheet of Mavaos, Sheet of Mavaos always goes with Erev Chatzeros, so maybe that's why the Bach takes it out. Tosfos does the opposite. Tosfos says, Ve'ei Nira, I don't think Rashi's right based on the rest of the context of the Perek. So I think this Perek is all about Tchumen. Right? So we have Rashi, we have the Bach, we have Tosfos. Either way, not really such an afkamina for us. The Meiri says that Rashi is just explaining the first line. He knows that the parak is about tchumen, but he's just explaining the first line. So any Erev or any food can be used for Erev or Shituf, chutz menamayim menamelach, except for water and salt. Water and salt are not significant enough as considered to be considered food. We'll get to other specific reasons as well. And therefore, they cannot be used, water or salt. If you look in the first Rashba in the Perek, the Rashba lays down some of the rules, which the Gemara will talk about, but let's just see it ready, see the Rashba to see how he summarizes all that is going to occur. The Rashba says, Pirish, Bechol Davar, Bechol Bar Vinamishtafin. You can use anything. What type of food? Bechol Davar Shehu Ne'achal Kamoshu Achshav. Anything that can be eaten as is, you can use. You can't eat something that is inedible and it must be cooked, because on Shabbos you can't cook it. So it has to be edible now. Vishadarkan shall rove b'nei adam la'ochlan. And it's the derech of most people to eat it. And vishiyehe ma'achal gomor hara'ui l'kabal achshav tumas ochlan b'loshum tikon acher. It has to be a food that, not just something that people eat, but considered a food halachically, that it's roi to be mekabel tumas ochlan. Right? You could have something that's not food that people eat. Right, you could have something that people, that is food that people don't eat, right, if it's raw. And it has to be edible, and that most people eat it, and that it's considered a food. But something that cannot be eaten until it's cooked, even though it's eaten, you cannot use it, as the Gemara is going to say. Avalinian Erev, Ein Ma'arvin, Holvein Aroy Achshav Lachila, V'Efshalo Lemiskan Adeha Or B'Shabbos, V'Anan Su'uda Haru'uya B'Inan. That is number one, says the Rashba. Then the Rashba adds, V'Dover She'eno Ne'achal L'Rov Ha'olam, Gam Kein Lo, Da'avzeh Ein Aroy L'Su'uda. It has to be eaten by most people in the world. V'Cheinami, Afilu Dover She'ne'achal K'mo She'hu. Even something that's eaten as is. V'Derech Rov Ha'olam La'ochlo. Im eino ma'achal mamish, haroi l'kabot ha'masoch l'nachshah, v'lo shem tikat acher, ein ma'arvin bo. Like, dahainu, kor. Di'avah bishu nechal, kamoshu chai, v'nikah, b'kez ha'maiser, v'ilu tignom, a certain type of food, which we'll get to later, people eat it, and if you fry it, it's l'kabot ha'masoch l'n, but right now, it's not ochel gomor. Right, so again, that's the rules. It has to be food, it has to be eaten, it has to be edible. That is the Rashba. Salt and water are excluded. We'll see why. That is. But this is the Rashba. The Rashba emphasizes, and this is what the Gemara at the beginning emphasizes, the issue that it has to be edible. There is another element that's going to come up in later Mishnayos, and that is, has to be accessible. It has to be able to be gotten to on Shabbos. When I set it aside before Shabbos, it has to be right for me to eat, and I have to be able to get it. For example, if I put it outside, if I want to put it at the edge of my tchum, and I put it 2,005 amos outside of my city, so then, doesn't matter if it's food, doesn't help me, and I revert back to my original tchum, right, that is the rule. It has to be accessible and edible. Oh, another point I forgot to mention, and that is, we're going to have later on, not so much in this parak, there's another way to create a tchum, and that is the beginning of the next parak, not only to put food out there before Shabbos, but if I go there before Shabbos. Doesn't come up so much because usually you're in your city. The point is you don't want to go there on Erev Shabbos. But let's say I'm traveling and the Mishnah is going to talk about I see the city from far away. So then I say, oh, I want my Makom Shvisa to be over there under that tree. Or I actually go there. That's another way to create a new Makom Shvisa, not only to put food there, but to actually go there. But so that those examples will come up, B'ez Hashem, at a later time. Okay, so we say, Bachol Ma'arvinu Mishtatfin. With any food, one can make an Erev and a Shita Bavos. We'll see what is normally used, chutz b'namayim u'minamelech, except for water and salt. Good, says the Mishnah. Once we talk about this, other halachas. Hakol nika b'kesef meiser. If I have meiser sheni money, which I'm bringing up to Yerushalayim, and I didn't want to schlep the food, so I was podeh the fruit, and I put it onto money, I bring the money up. What type of foods am I allowed to buy with this Maaser Sheni money? So, many times we buy karbanos with it, we buy basar, but you can really buy anything, except for chutz b'namayim u'minamelech. You can't use your Maaser Sheni money to buy water or salt. Hanoder min hamazon. If somebody makes a neder from having anything called mazon, what does mazon mean? Satiating material. Mutter b'mayim u'b'melach. Mayim and melach are not called mazon, and therefore you're allowed to partake of it, even if you took a neder that you're not allowed to eat it. Stop there for a okay, let's just finish first. Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin u'l'Yisrael b'truma. The Tanakhama holds that it doesn't have to be ra'ui for me. It has to be roi for most people in the world, many people in the world, even if it's not roi for me. So a nazir can set up an erev with wine. A Yisrael can set up an erev with truma, even though they personally cannot eat it, but still a good number of people can eat it in the world. So that is good enough. Sumchis Omer Bechulin. Sumchis argues and says, no, a Yisrael is not allowed to use truma. A Yisrael has to use chulin. Does he argue on the first line of Marvin Yai and Lenazir? We'll have to see in the Gemara. Good. Ule Kohen Beveis HaPras. The Mishnah is that a Kohen is allowed to have his Erev in a Beis HaPras. What is a Beis HaPras? There are different types of Beis HaPras. It's some type of Tuma Midrabanan, a Beis HaKfaros, or an area where you know a grave was plowed over, and there's a Suffolk Tuma there. It's Tamei Midrabanan. Why is it only Tamei Midrabanan? Because there is a way to go in there making sure that I don't pick up Tamei. I could be close to the ground that I could blow and make sure there's no bones that are around that I might touch. There are ways to be, for a Kohen to go into a Beis HaPras very carefully. So a Kohen is allowed to have his Erev in a Beis HaPras. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Bein HaKvaros, even in an actual cemetery. Not just in a Beis HaPras, an actual cemetery. Mipnei sheyachol lachutz velelech velechol. Because he could go in a chatitza, meaning he could go in a box, go in some way, and get his Erev without becoming Tamei, and therefore it is, even though it's an unusual way to go in a Shida, Aron Shida Umigdal, but because it's possible, that is good enough, because he could go in this way. Interestingly, Tosas points out, on this last line, Rabbi Yehuda says that, he's got to figure out a way for himself to be able to benefit. Is he arguing on the Tanakama? Tanakama who says, Yisrael can eat truma, Yisrael can never eat truma. Is that the same issue about accessibility and edibility? Right, the Mishnah, what? He can be Shoel? What if it's not his truma? Right, if it's not his truma, he can't be shoal on the truma. So is the Mishnah saying that one, is there an argument here? Tosfos says no. Tosfos says don't compare the specific issues. You might have somebody who says that in terms of edibility, it does not have to be yours, while accessibility, you have to be able to get it. You don't have to compare the two. The top Tosfos, right, he's talking about within Rabbi Yehuda Shita, they have to be able to get there. Aval ilav achi, but if you can't get there, lo havi eriv. Afa gavda chazi li Yisrael. Even though a Yisrael could get there, Yisrael could go into a cemetery, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if a Kohen can't get there, it's no good. Mishum tahavihu b'makom echad ve'iru b'makom acher. V'hav ha'inu tam etetan kama delo ave eriv. V'lo mishum desfira le kisumchis. Rabbi Yehuda mashma desover kisumchis. Okay, he goes through it, but Tosfos is underlining the fact that you don't have to compare these two issues. Accessibility and edibility might not be the same issue. You might not need personal edibility, but you would need personal accessibility. Good. There is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi on our Gemara. The Yerushalmi says, we don't have this in our Gemara. The Yerushalmi says, why are water and salt excluded? Because they are simin klala. Simin klala. Amr of Yosa, lefi she'ein haguf nizon mehen. They don't satiate. What we have. Mazon. Amr Abi Levi, she'ein min klala. They're a type of curse. What does that mean? The Karban Eida here says, remember, we don't have Rishonim on the Yerushalmi, we only have Achronim, says the Karban Eida, Mayim mimei hamabol, vahamelach mistom. Water from the mabol and the salt from stone. And the Pnei Moshe says, same thing. Mayim mimabol shahoy l'shachis basa haaretz, umelach kedachsiv gafris vahamelach sreifa kol artsa. So each of these foods were associated with klala, and that's why you can't use them for the mitzvah of Erev, of Erev Truman. If you look in the Shiare Karban on the bottom now, he says a little more connection, not just two separate curses. He says, Shemayim meluchim min klalahim, sheiksiv b'yecheskel, shelo asid yirapu amayim v'lo yim meluchim. It says that when Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any salt water in the world anymore. So, must be that that's going to be a bracha. So must be the salt water today is not a bracha. So, because of that pasuk in Yecheskel, and then he says, "Umei gishamim nami mimei akianis b'ayim elasha ha'avim matkim osam." Rainwater. Oh, that came from the ocean also, but it was sweetened. The saltiness was taken out after the evaporation. So it all comes from the same source, though. Says the Shiare Karban, and then he asked a question, though. 1 minute, it's a siman klala. We know from a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos that Rabbi Yehuda holds anything that's a siman klala, you don't make a bracha on. Right? Remember he said the govai. Right? Anything that's a siman klala, you don't make a bracha on. So Rabbi Yehuda's going to say you don't make a bracha on water. You don't make a bracha on salt. So Shira Karmat says maybe he also going to be tarfin that says you make a bracha nefashos on water and not shahakol. So he asked that as a question. According to Yerushalmi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you shouldn't make a bracha on the salt. Either way. Anyway, just one other point. Fascinating ha'ara that the Pardes Yosef mentions here. Pardes Yosef, one of the Achronim on the Torah, he quotes a Medrash Pliya. Medrash Pliya in Parshas Vayera. What's a Medrash Pliya? Two things that seem to have no connection to each other. They're put together in the Medrash. What's the Medrash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaMachaseh Ani Me'Avram Asher Ani Oseh. Am I allowed to cover up anything that I'm going to do to Avram? To the world from Avram, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to himself, Kaviyachol, that he cannot withhold the information about stone from Avram. Says the Medrash, Amar Hashem, Eruve Chatzeros Gilisi Lo, Lamachar Hipucha Shel Stone Lo Agalelo. End of the Medrash. I told him the halachas of Eruv. I'm not going to tell him that I'm destroying stone. What in the world does one have to do with the other one? So the part that Yossi says, according to Yerushalmi, is beautiful. Because the reason that you can't use salt is because of what's about to happen. So he taught in the halachas of Eruv already, like Rashi said, Chatzeris even, and now he's saying, oh, I'm about to destroy stone, there's going to be a limit on that halacha. So I got to tell him what I'm going to do.
Could he use Mayim? He could have used
up to that point. Up to that point, maybe he could have used it. Yushami first, Yish Klala, Vizo Pirusho, Gilisi Lo, Imkeba Mukra Khani Lagalos Lo Ibucha Shostom, Mishum Shinolat Ata Din Khadash, Layer of Khateros, Shemeata in Marvin Bemelak, Mishum Ishto Shalot. Good, beautiful, Pardes Yosef for the day. We continue. Says the Gemara. So what does the Mishnah say? You could use everything except. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made the following statement. Ein lomedim min haklalos v'afilu b'makom sh'emer bochutz. Rabbi Yochanan said, you can never learn from general statements. Even if it says an exception at the end of the general statement, you can't assume that every single case is included. This is always the case except for blank. Doesn't matter, there might be another exception. That Rabbi Yehuda said. So the Gemara says, "Mitakamer afilu b'makom shnemar bochutz." From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan in this statement said, even in a place where it says chutz, michlal d'lav hachakoy, he must not be talking about our case, because our case says chutz. Right? Our case says you can use anything except for mayim and melach. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even if it's in a place where it says chutz, it must be that it's not a hard and fast rule. There might be other things left out. So where did Rabbi Yochanan make this statement? Our Mishnah is, let's say, the application that he had been talking about. But his statement originally must have been somewhere else, in a place where it did not say chutz. So, hecha kai, where did he say it? Hasam kai, the following. This is one of those great amudim in Shas, where you have like 10 different mitzvahs mentioned, and you can spend time on any one of the mitzvahs. Says Tasam Koi. So it's talking about the Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin. Kol mitzvah asei shezman grama. Any mitzvah asei that is time bound. Anoshim chayavin v'noshim peturos. Men are obligated and women are peturos, as we learned based on Psukim there in the Gemara. V'shalo asman grama. If it's not time bound, echa noshim v'echa anoshim. Right, if it's not time bound, any mitzvah asei that is not time bound, men and women are obligated. Chayavin. That's the rule. The klalahu. Is that really a rule to call mitzvah asei shezman grama nashim peturos? Are women peturos from all time bounds? Hooray. Matzah. What about matzah? At least the first night. Simcha. Simchas yantif. Islamachta tov b'chagecha. What does the pasuk say? Right. Atov v'secha. They're also included. V'hakel. That's only done once every 7 years, right in the year after Shemitah, the mitzvah of Hakel. What does it say? Who has to come to Hakel? Anashim, v'nashim, v'taf. Right, Machlokes in the Ramban, there in the end of the Torah, by Hakel, he has two dais. He said, it's hard for me to believe that babies are going to come. I assume this is Higiel Achinach. But what can I do, says the Ramban? The Medrash says taf. And taf always means babies. Litein tzchalim v'yehen. That's the Ramban, meaning I would have said otherwise, but this is what the Medrash says. So all of those, the mitzvahs aseh shezman gramahu, v'nashim chayavos, right, these are time bound and women are obligated. So you see, it's not a hard and fast rule. Right? You see, there are exceptions to the rule. There are zman grumas that women are obligated in. And also, the chametz azay shelo azman grama nashim chayavos. What all non-time-bound mitzvahs women are obligated? Haray, Talmud Torah, Pirya Verivya, Pidyon Aben, the mitzvah azay shelo azman grama nashim paturos. These three major mitzvahs women are exempt from, even though they are not time-bound. Pidyon Aben, the father. The mitzvah is on the father of the son, not on the mother. Right? It's only on the father. You're right. Once the son gets old enough, so then he has to do it himself. But the mitzvah, the father, what does the Mishnah say in Becharos? If I only have 5 slime, and I'm a Bechar, and I have a son who's a Bechar, who do I do? Which Pidyon Aben do I do? It's a Machlokas Tanoim. Fascinating. The first opinion says, you do yourself. Your mitzvah comes first. The second opinion says, no. The root mitzvah opinion of Ben is always on the father. And therefore, you do your sons, because your root mitzvah was on your father. And you're doing it in his shoes. But you do the Iker mitzvah first. Machlokas Tanom, the second to last paragraph of Masechus Bechoros.
But is it
Zman Grama? Is Pidyon HaBen a Zman Grama? Maybe we'll talk about that soon. But the Gemara says explicitly that it's not a Zman Grama. So you're asking why not? So we'll talk about that soon. Let's just finish the line. So what do you see from here? Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So about this Mishnah in Kiddushin, that's where Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein lomedim in haklalos v'yafilu b'malkam shnemar bochutz. You can't learn from klalos even in a case where it says chutz and it sounds pretty literal. Still, you cannot learn from there. Okay, there's a lot to talk about. We can spend the rest of our day on this line, but let's just make a couple of points. Number one, let's just start with going back. What you just asked is Pidyon HaBen a Zman Grama? Is it really a Zman Grama? So this gets to the root. We discussed this in the past, I think, in Daf Be'in Shir. Maybe we'll talk about this on Shavuos again. How do you determine whether something's a Zman Grama or not? And we'll start with the Ramban, right? Famous Ramban. Whether it's true or not, we'll have to ask the Ramban. Maybe Ribbana Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban, in one line in Maseches Kiddushin on this Gemara, lists off a number of Zman Gramas and lists off a number of non-Zman Gramas. And the famous comment of the Ramban is that Siras HaOmer is not a Zman Grama mitzvah. Not a Zman Grama. And the Achronim are vehement whether the Ramban really said this or not. Some Achronim say, oh, it's a mistake. Not a Zman Grama. You don't get a more Zman Grama mitzvah. You're counting time. You don't get better than that. It turns out being a Zman Grama. And what the Ramban must have had, must be a toast in the publisher. It must have said Samach Hey, and it meant Sfira Hazava, but really they made it into Sfira Sa'omer, but it's not really Sfira Sa'omer. Doesn't mean that. And other Achronim say, no, he said it. He said it. There are other sources that quote him as saying it. So he definitely said it. So then the Shaila is, so how is it not a Zman Grama? That was not his man grandma. So, Rechav Asher Perlau explains based on a Chachma Shlomo, or Shlomo Kloger. Shlomo Kloger in Hilchos Kiddush Levana. The Magen Avraham quotes, do women do Kiddush Levana? Do women have to do Kiddush Levana? So the minhag is not to. Why not? Not just because they're not at Ma'ariv on a Motzei Shabbos. Why don't they do Kiddush Levana? So the Magen Avraham quotes, the mitzvah in Tav Chavav, the mitzvahs asei shazman grama hu. It's a Zman Grama. Even though they do other Zman Gramas, this one they shouldn't do because Haim Garmu Pigam Halavana. They cause the making the moon smaller, according to the Shulchan Aruch. What does that mean? Somehow it's connected to Chava. It always goes back to Chava. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. There's something to do with the Pigam Halavana. But what is the Magen Avraham says explicitly that it's a Zman Grama. Says Rav Shlomo Kloger on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, on the Chavah Shlomo, I'm sorry, but I beg to differ. This is not a Zman Grama. Why isn't Kiddush Levana a Zman Grama? What does Zman Grama mean, says Rav Shlomo Kloger? Where you have the mitzius of the mitzvah always, today it's a mitzvah. Tomorrow it's not a mitzvah. I can shake a lulav today. It's not a mitzvah. I can shake a lulav on Sukkot, it is a mitzvah. The lulav is there every day. That's the zman is goring that it's a mitzvah. But by Kiddush Levana, what's the mitzvah? Giving a bracha to Hashem as the moon is getting bigger. So that's a zman grama. Why is that a zman grama? The second half of the month, the mitzius, the reality for the mitzvah doesn't exist. That's not zman grama. There, the zman is goring the reality. The zman isn't goring the mitzvah. That's not called Zman Grama. Havas Bikurim is another discussion. Is that Zman Grama? Right? It's only between Shavuos and Sukkot or Shavuos and Chanukah. Is that Zman Grama? Maybe not. Maybe it's the first fruit is only now. There are other examples, but says Rav Yochanan Perlo, maybe that's the point with Sfirasa Omer too. What's the mitzvah of Sfirasa Omer? Counting from Pesach to Shavuos. So today, now we're in Yemei Asvira. So now there's a mitzvah. But what about after Shavuos? Oh, it's a Zman Groma. There's no mitzvah. No. The reality, the mitzius of the mitzvah, the situation of the mitzvah doesn't exist. You can't count from Pesach to Shavuos except during Pesach, between Pesach and Shavuos. That's not called a Zman Groma. That might be the Svara of the Ramban. So some Achronim try to use this to explain, what about Bris Milah? Is Bris Milah a Zman Groma? So Tosfos discusses this in Masechet Kedushin, and the Tosfos Rid, and the Tosfos Arash, and the Ritva, all the Rishonim there in Kedushin, quote, discuss this. Why? Because the Gemara has a pasuk to exclude women from the Chiyuv of Bris Milah. What do you need a pasuk for? It's a Zman Groma. So all the Achronim get into the act. So Bris Milah, Pidgin HaBen, is that the time makes it a mitzvah? Or is it the event makes it a mitzvah? It's 8 days from the birth. It's 31 days from the birth. That might not be exactly a Zman Groma. Where the mitzias is that this isn't a mitzias, it's just that, right, it goes from the event. It's a little different than what I just said, but it's a similar idea that it's not a pure Zman Groma. Again, this is a huge topic, how to define Zman Groma, but it's some food for thought. Good, what else can we talk about? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Women are pterus from Talmud Torah. That is true. But remember the Ramah. The Ramah in Yoredeya says that women are obligated in all mitzvahs that are shayach, to learn about all mitzvahs that are shayach to them. So all they have to learn is Da'al Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. That's all they have to learn. Right? Okay, and Be'ez Hashem, everybody Be'ez HaMikdash, they'll have to learn Kachem and Taharas as well. But again, we have to realize women have a lot to learn, even though, per se, the Gemara says that they are Pturos. What does it mean? Pturos? So there's a Beis HaLevi we've quoted in the past. They're Pater from Talmud Torah Lishma. All they have to do is to lilmod amanas lasos. But the lishma element, to learn every ksos and nesivus and mikveger, that they don't have to do. And that's what the Beis HaLevi explains beautifully, both in the Akdama to his Tshuvas and in his Sefer on Chumash. Beis HaLevi says, this explains the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, where the Gemara says, the reason that the Churban happened was, shelo berchu batorah tchila. They didn't make berchas haTorah. That's why the Churban happened. That's why the Churban happened? So terrible. And why didn't they say Berachas Torah anyway? So Rabbeinu Yonah there quotes, quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, that, they didn't think Torah was chashev enough to make a bracha on. Again, why not? So the Beis HaLevi connects us to the Gemara in Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara says, we only make a bracha on the final stage of a mitzvah. A Hechsher mitzvah does not get a bracha. So, says the Beis HaLevi, in that generation, they only believed in Talmud Torah as a Hechsher mitzvah. And that's why they didn't make a bracha on it. They didn't believe in Talmud Torah as a value inherently, Talmud Torah Lishma. That's why they didn't make a bracha, and that was the tragedy of that generation, and that's women only are only chayavos in Talmud Torah type 1, not type 2. That is the Beis HaLevi that we have mentioned. Good. One other ha'ara, and that is based specifically on this Gemara. The Gemara lists off the Zman Gromas and non-Zman Gromas. Says the Shagas Aryeh in Simin Lamed Hey. This Gemara, I think, is a raya that women are obligated in the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Nowhere in Shas, says the Shagas Aryeh, do you have a source that women are pater from the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. They're pater from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But who says those are the two of the same mitzvah? Yes, there's a rush that says that Bizman Azeh, the mitzvah is to buy Svarim, because the mitzvah is connected to Talmud Torah. And today we don't learn from Sefer Torah, we learn from Svarim. But, says the Shagas Aryeh, we don't find that in most Rishonim. We don't find that in the Gemara. It's two separate mitzvahs. And therefore, look in Erev and Daf Chav Zayin, says the Shagas Aryeh. The mitzvahs that women are pturos from are listed. Ksiva Sefer Torah is not there. And therefore, says the Shagas Aryeh, I think women are obligated in the 613 mitzvah, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. This is a big discussion in the Achron and the footnotes in the Shagas Aryeh. Is it an exhaustive list? That's what he is. He assumes if Talmud Torah is there, Ksiva Sefer Torah should be there. And therefore, that's the Shagas Aryeh's Raya by omission. And looking at the Achronim that talk about the Shagas Aryeh, they have to explain, maybe it's included in Talmud Torah, but there are other ways to get out of it. It's not a killer Raya, but that is the Shagas Aryeh. Okay, there's a lot more, but let's continue. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, we also learned it about this Mishnah, not just the Mishnah in Kiddushah, but the Mishnah in Zavin. O klal acher amru, kol, we know a zav is an avatuma. And there are special rules about a zav, which we mentioned a couple of days ago. It's going to come up again now. Kol shenisa al gabi hazav, anything that is carried by a zav. What does that mean? That means a zav is carrying it, but he is not touching it. That's nisa al gabi hazav, right? Similar to tumas masa. Tumas masa, though, usually is a tahar person carrying something that's tameh. Here's the opposite. It's a zav carrying something that's tahar without touching it. So a zav makes it tameh. That's called el yono shel zav. A zav, who is an av, makes that a rishon. The kol shazav nisa alav tahar. But if a zav is carried or leaning on anything else, it is tahar, except chutz, except for min haroi lemishkav amoshav, except for something normally sat on. A couch, a mattress, a chair, all of those, as we mentioned many times, can become tumas, can become an avatuma, being a mishkav hazav, or a moshav hazav. Vihadam, and a person. If a person carries a zav, even if he doesn't touch the zav, that person also becomes an avatuma. So, that even though a person is not normally sat on. But that's the rule. Says the Gemara, Visuleka, are there no exceptions to that rule in the Mishnah? Vihayika merkav. What about Merkav, what a Zav would normally ride on? The Mishnah only said Mishkav and Moshav. If the Mishnah would have said Medris, Medris is a more inclusive Lashon that might include all of them. But the Mishnah was specific. The Mishnah says Mishkav and Moshav. Where's Merkav? So the Gemara says, one second. Hi Merkav, hey Chidami. What does Merkav include? Ida Yasiv Ale, if you're talking about something that a Zav sits on when he rides. Hi no Moshav, it's the same thing. It's normally sat on. So the Gemara said, no, Anan, hachi ka'amrina. No, this is what I mean to say by question. Ha'ika gava de'uchpa. There is the holder, the part of the saddle that the Zav holds onto and grasps on as he rides. So as he rides, he leans on it. So that's not normally sat on, but he rides on it. So that's what I'm asking. Why isn't that in the Mishnah? Titanya, as the Brisa says, Ha'okef tamei moshav, the okef, the saddle is tamei moshav, the atafus, the thing that you grab on, tamei merkav. So why isn't that in the Mishnah? El shmahaminas, this is another raya, ein lomedem en aklalos, v'afilu b'makam shnei rabo chutz. Right, this is another area of Mishnah, which Rabbi Yochanan said it about. If you look in Tosfos here, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, in Kol, this Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in a few Tosfos in Shas, Tosfos says, what happens if a zav sits on a table? So we know that table is not normally sat on. So that table is not Tamei Mishkav Azav. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam and says, but it is Tamei one level down, like other Tumas. It is Tamei, it becomes a Rishon. That's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam right here. Om Rabbeinu Tam, Titarmi Tuma Chamura, Te'enu Metamei Adam Mekalim, Aval Tamei Tuma Kala, Kigon Latamei Ochlun Amashkin, Avagav Te'enu Roy Lemishkav Amoshav. That's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Relating this to what we've mentioned. We mentioned this 3 days ago. I think we mentioned this on the Yontiv Daf. And that is, remember the thought that Rav Soloveitchik said. And that is, why does it not go down? Why does it go across? A Mishkav Azav. Why is it also an Av? Because the Zav is not really Metameit. The Zav is just Magdirit. The Zav, once a Zav sits on something, that's called a Mishkav Azav. Memela Hashem says it's an Avatuma. It's not that there's a transmission of Tuma here that it would go down. No, it's defined. So, Rav Soloveitchik explained, what must Rabbeinu Tam hold? Rabbeinu Tam holds that really both Tumas, both transferences of Tuma exist by Azav. You have the Chiddush of the Magdir, the item as a Mishkav Azav, and also you have the secondary actual transmission. And therefore, if Halacha A doesn't work, Halacha B still exists. That's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam right here in Erev and Chav Zayin. Good. We continue. Says the Gemara, Amar Avina, V'itamer of Nachman, Afanana Mitanino. We have another Mishnah. Our Mishnah is the next context. Bakol ma'arvinu mishtatvin, chutz b'nayim ben ha-melech. You could have read the first line of the Mishnah. You could have an air of a shitav except for Mayim and Melech. Vesu leka. Right, we'll come back to the gra. We'll come back to the amazing gra. But first, Vesu leka. Is that it? V'ha'ika k'meinu pitrios. You can't use mushrooms either. Mushrooms also are not a chasha food. Right? Therefore, why isn't that in the Mishnah? It must be that you can't learn from rules even where it says chutz. Okay, a couple of points. Number one, why can't you use pitriot? Why can't you use mushrooms? What can you use that? So that's a various shittas of the Rishonim. The Rambam says here in the Pirush of Mishnayos, they're not healthy. They're not healthy. You can't use them. Tosfos says on the in the Tosfos that goes over to Amabez, they're not eaten raw. That's enough kamina. How many people eat mushrooms raw today? But they're not eaten raw, says Tosfos. If you look at other Rishonim, the Rashba says here, the other Chachmei Sfarad, they're not a main food. Not a main food that you usually eat. Okay, either way, the Vilna Gaon rejects all of these. He says, I don't understand. It is a food you eat. Some people can eat it raw. It's not so bad for you. I don't know what these Rishonim are talking about. So the Gra adds in one word to the Gemara. You see the Aleph? What is the Aleph? You don't catch. I read this the first time. I didn't catch it. Look what he says. In the Aleph, I go to Gra near Be'enai, V'chulu. He adds in a V'chulu. Like, what's the Gra doing there? The Gra is telling us that this line of the Gemara is not going on the first context about Erev. It's going on the next context, Maaser Sheni. That's what the V'chulu is saying. And he explains this more in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He's saying, V'chulu! We're talking about you can't use mushrooms for Maaser Sheni. Because Maaser Sheni, you need pre, as we'll get to. That's what it is. So the Gra just adds in a V'chulu. And that changes the whole understanding of the Gemara. Amazing. Just add in the V'chulu. Good. We continue. Says the Gemara. Hakonika b'chaz ha'maiser. V'chulu. So now our next piece. Right, so basically, it's going on the same. If we have the next title, Nika b'chaz ha'maiser, according to the Gemara, it's commenting on the same part of the Mishnah that we just commented before. So Hakonika b'chaz ha'maiser. Says the Gemara. Sorry, again, my throat is a little raspy today. Shem Yazor. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Chad Masniya Erev, Chad Masniya Meiser. Here it's explicit. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. So some have this line about melach u water, melach and mayim. Some have it about Erev, and some have it about Meiser. Chad Masniya Erev. The following comment. Lo shanu elamayim b'fe'asmo melach b'fe'atzmo de'in ma'arvin. You can't use separate water and salt. Avo b'mayim ve'melach ma'arvin. But if you have salt water, then you can use that for Erev. So some people have that comment about Erev. The Chadmas, the Amayser. And some have that Amayser. Lo shanu elamayim b'fe'atzmo u'melach b'fe'atzmo de'in nikachin. Avo mayim u'melach nikachin because of Meiser. Some say you could use salt water from Meiser. So, man demasi ha-Meiser, the one who allows it by Meiser Sheni, kol shekein ha-Erev, because Erev would have lower standards. Uman demasi ha-Erev, aval ha-Meiser lo. The one who allows you to buy salt water for your Erev would not allow it for Meiser Sheni, possibly. My time, I'll pay Rabbeinu, because you need a pre. Salt water is not a pre. It's not a product of the ground. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to use it. Period. Ki yasa Rabbi Yitzchak masniya Meiser. Rabbi Yitzchak came and learned it about Meiser. Meisvei, hey Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish Lefnei Rabbi Elazar, shel beis Abba, hayolochin seer bekesef of Meisner. He testified that his father used to buy fish brine with a Meiser. Fish brine, right, is a liquid that comes out of the fish. Omer lo, shema lo shamata, ela kishakir be'dagim u'ravim bahen. Maybe it's only if you have little pieces of fish in it. Is that what your father did? But what do you see from that discussion? Says the Gemara now. V'yafil Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish lo kame ela bitzir de shumna de perehi. And even Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish only allowed it when you have actual fish juice. Avo mayim u'melach lo. But salt water? Nobody allows salt water. So how can we say salt water would be okay? So Amar Rav Yosef lo nitzrucha ela shenasan latochan shemen. You're right. Even when he allowed salt water, it's only if you put a little oil in there. You have to have added a little oil, and that is what would be allowed. Amarlei Abaya says, one second. Amarlei Abaya, v'tebeli v'shem shemen. Then what's the chiddush? You could just buy oil. So if you put oil in, it's good. You could just buy it with oil. So of course it's good. No, lo tzricha shenasan to me mayim u'melach behavla'a. The answer is you gave a lot of money. Meaning the oil would have been worth 10 shekel, but you paid 20 shekel for the oil with the water and the salt. So you might say that's not good. Because, look, lemaisa, you paid for the other ingredients. Kamash v'lam, because it was all bahavla'a, it was all one payment swallowed all together, it's okay. And as long as there was something, there was oil in this for this payment, and you paid more for the oil, it is okay. Major machlokas Rishonim, the Ritva here says, the Gemara here is talking about Meiser. So what are we paskin by Erev in terms of salt water? The Gemara here was talking about Meiser. The Ritva here says, this is the maskana regarding Erev too. You can't just have salt water. You have to add in some oil also. But if you look at the Rambam, you look at the Rif, they're mako beferish. They're mako when it comes to plain salt water, and the Ritva says, I don't understand. The Gemara had this maskana by Erev, I think you should have this maskana by Meiser, I think you should have this maskana by Erev as well. Okay, either way. Says the Gemara now, Uba Havla Mishari, are you allowed to use Havla? Is Havla okay? The Gemara says, in yes. And we're going to have a long brisa now to teach me that Havla is okay. So much wrote to point out that it's somewhat unusual because we know there is Havla in other halachic contexts. Where do we have Havla? On a Daraisa level. We have it by buying in Esrog Shel Shemitah, right? The Mishnah says Misaka Sukkah. You could pay more for the lulav and include the esrog. Or by Meiser Behema, we have it by selling a Meiser Behema animal. On a Darabanan level, we have it by Schar Shabbos. It's the most common case. That's all Darabanan level. But, says the Gemara, where do you have it on a Daraisa level? Bahavla Mishari in. You have it as follows. Vatanya. Says the Braisa, Ben Bagbag, Omer. Baba, right, he does not only appear in Pirkei Avos. Baba Omer, we have an extra pasuk by what you're allowed to buy by Meister Shani. So what do we use the extra words for? Right, it says you buy whatever you want, and then it says this. So babakar milamed, what does that teach me? Shalokin bakar agav oro. You're allowed to buy cattle, and the skin of the cow will be chulin. Doesn't have to get kedusha. That's babakar. Uvatson, milamed shalokin son agav gizasa. You could buy a sheep and use that as kedushas Meister Shani, and the shearings will not. Uba yayin, malami shalochin yayin agabe kankado. The barrel that the wine is in will not have kedusha. Uba shechar, malami shalochin temed b'shechemetz. Shechar says temed, which is the dregs of the wine that you just leave in, and it's mostly water, but eventually it ferments and becomes what's called temed. You can also buy that with your Meister Shani money. So you see from all of these that you're allowed to pay Meister Shani money, and included in what you get is something that does not have kedushas Meister Shani. So that's the raya from Bebagbag that you could use Havla. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, one second. Man de metargim li babakar aliba de ben bagbag. Whoever could explain this brisa to me that ben bagbag uses in the psukim, movilna mane abasu le bemasusa. I'll carry his towel to the bathhouse. Meaning, I'll be his Talmud. That's the way the Talmud acts. My time, meaning, what's my problem? What's my problem? My problem is that these psukim aren't extra. So I don't know how Ben Magwag is making this drasha. Kulhut srichi levarmi babaka delot sarach. You need 3 out of 4 of these words. So I don't understand why he's darshaning something from each of these. My srichi, let me explain. What do I need them for? Dikaz rachman and babakar. If I only had the word babakar, havamina, bakar hu demizdavinai de agav oro. Bakar, you can buy and the skin will not have kedusha. Mishim de gufehu. Because you're allowed to use Havla for that because it's still part of the animal. It's gufe. Avotson agav gizasa delav gufe hu emelo. But maybe you can't do this little harama when it comes to the shearings, which are not inherently, can be removed from the sheep. Because rachmada batson agav gizasa hava amina mishum de mechubar ba. At least that's connected. Attached. Aval yayin aval gabi kankano emelo. But maybe the barrel of wine, you cannot use this mechanism and have it remain chulin. Because Rachmana Bayayin, if you only had number 3, Hava Minimishum Tahina Nitiruse. At least the barrel is what guards the wine. Aval Temed Misha Hechmitz Dikiyua Ba'almahu, but by Temed, which is mostly water, so it's not significant really, Amalo, maybe you cannot buy that with Meister Shani money. Because of Rachmana Shechar, that's what you need all 4 psukim. But now go backwards. Because Rachmana Bashechar, if you only had the 4th one, Hava Amina, my Shechar Devela Kielis. If you only had Shechar, I would have thought, what does that include? Devela. That means dried figs or pressed figs from Kielis, which have that what comes out of the dvash that comes out of those is intoxicating. Deperu. So that's what's allowed. Aval Yain al Gavkan Kano Melo. But maybe the barrel connect to the wine you wouldn't be able to buy with Meister Shani money. Because of Rachmana Yain al Gavkan Kano, Hatahainu Nitiruse. Aval Son al Gavgizasa Emelo. At least the barrel is needed by the wine. The shearings is not needed by the sheep. Because of Rachmana Tzon, Dagavik Afilo Gavgizasa. Babakar Lamali. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so you need three. Only the first word is extra. If you go backwards, you're left with one. You don't need Babakar. So how could Ben Bagbag explain all four psukim as being extra? And just one more line. V'chi tema. And if you want to say this suggestion, Ilokaz Rachmana Babakar. Maybe if it wouldn't have said Abakar Avamina Tsona Gav Ora in Agav Gizasalo, maybe we would have skipped. We would have said the sheep only regarding its skin, but not regarding its wool. Kaz Rachmana Babakar Lasuye Oro. And that's why the Torah writes Babakar to include even skin. And therefore, Actulate Son Lasuye Gizasa. Maybe that's why you have a bakar, and babakar is not extra either. Says Rabbi Yochanan, no. Ilokaz rachmana bakar, lo havamina, tson agavi ora in agavi gizas alo. No, you would never have had that havamina. Why? De imkein lechta rachmana bakar. De bemela aitilate tson. No, because when you think about cattle, you can think of skin. When you think of sheep, you think of wool. And therefore, it would have been more simple to just write bakar to teach me R. And therefore, it says Rabbi Yochanan, finishing his question, the kisim kivin the kazer achman etzon that filo agav gizasa. Since we say etzon ba bakar lamali, hashta etzon agav gizasa mizdavna. You're even allowed to buy that and have the wool bakar agav ora mi bayi. That's my problem. Hainu to come Rabbi Yochanan. This is why Rabbi Yochanan said, "Man de betagim li ba bakar, li ben bagbag movil namani lebe masusa." This is my problem. I don't know why Ben Bagbag darshins as he does, because they are not all extra. Good. So we'll have to stop here. We'll see what the machlokas, another machlokas about next time. But again, havla is an important issue. Maybe we'll start with a little bit about havla tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here. Parsha Shir hopefully should be up.